In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is among us. A happy feast day. How about that? You are Pierre, and upon Pierre I will build this rock, this church. Pierre. Happy feast day to Pierre, his name's day. This morning, Orthros, the liturgy, the church prayed, O Peter, pray earnestly that the kingdom of Christ be open to those who honor your divine memory with faith. And such is the reason that you and I have gathered this evening, such is the reason why we have been, Christians have been gathering this morning, today, throughout the day, we've been praying. We gather around the altar of the Lord to honor with faith this Peter and Paul, two men rightly called, have been called for since the earliest days of the church, the pillars of the church. Think about pillars. I mean, we don't use pillars in the same way. A lot of times our pillars now are just decoration. But in the ancient days, pillars, those were what basically held up a building. And so when the church calls Peter and Paul the pillars of the church, they're holding up the church. That's how important these two men are. The other apostles don't even get that title. The church also calls Peter and Paul the foundation. Yes, all the apostles, but in a particular way, Peter and Paul. Foundation. Without a foundation, a building does not stand. The church stands on the apostles. Not to cause an ecumenical fight, but you may recall that famous hymn that Martin Luther wrote, Our Mighty Fortress is a God. If you read it very carefully, he specifically says, Christ is the foundation, not the apostles, and he was attacking the whole entire apostolic church with that song. And yet so many Western churches sing that song. They don't know the theology. St. Martin Luther wrote that against this whole theology that the church is apostolic, built on the foundation of the apostles, in particular Peter and Paul. And another hymn this morning in Orthros, the church prayed, by your intercession, O holy apostle, three things by the intercession of Peter, and we can also say Paul. Three things. Obtain remission for our sins, give enlightenment to our heart, and give joy to our spirit. For those who celebrate your sacred memory. And here we are this evening. Hopefully today you've taken time out to pray to these two saints. Maybe you prayed a little bit of Orthros, maybe an evening prayer, but you're certainly here tonight. And what's one of the fruits we hope to receive? That through the powerful intercession of Peter and Paul, we may have the remission of sins, the enlightenment of our heart, and the joy of spirit. You came forward to reverence the icon. This is the icon, Peter and Paul holding the church. Since the earliest days, the church has always seen Peter and Paul as inseparable. And so even in this ancient icon, there it is, Peter and Paul holding up the church. Right? They're the pillars. They're the foundation. And you don't see them in separated. You go to St. Peter's in the Vatican. Again, there they are. Peter and Paul right outside of St. Peter's. Right, a basilica at the heart of Christendom. If you go to St. Paul outside the wall, the church, the basilica dedicated to Paul, where he's supposedly martyred, buried. Again, if you look at the door closely, you have images of the life of Paul. You, on the other side, you have images in the life of Peter. The church in her history and in her tradition never separates these two men. And so even liturgically, this liturgy goes back to at least the 400s because we have even homilies from St. Augustine on the feast of Peter and Paul. This is one of the oldest liturgies in the church. And again, they're already so early on. Peter and Paul always together, celebrated together. They are inseparable. And in a way, they represent to us the entire gospel. The entire gospel. In fact, after the city of Rome was converted, even the Christians of Rome saw this deep relationship between Peter and Paul, to the point that The Christians in Rome would call Peter and Paul brothers in the faith. And they became the two new brothers. So in the original founding of Rome, the pagan Rome, it was Romulus and Remus, two brothers, right? And they were struggling, they fought. And so in the new founding of Rome is now the Christian city. The Christians of Rome said, these are two new brothers, the founders of Rome, Peter and Paul, not Romulus and Remulus. And still, there's another image that the church fathers enjoyed talking about when they look at Peter and Paul. They look at the two other brothers, the first two brothers, Cain and Abel, and Cain kills his brother Abel. Peter and Paul, the two brothers in faith of the new covenant, the new church, the new Israel. And while at a human level, these two men were polar opposites, and they fought and they argued with each other, and there was conflict between the two of them. They were completely different personalities, completely different temperaments, and yet these two men were able to resolve all their conflicts and remain brothers in the faith because their source of unity was in the person, the living person, Jesus the Christ. So there's a first lesson we can learn from today's feast day is that through Christ and in Christ, two men who are polar opposites, different temperaments, fighting and arguing, and there was conflict between them, and yet they were able to live out the gospel of agape, sacrificial love, godly love. They were able to live out the gospel in their personal lives. And so, for each of us, we all have our own temperaments. We all have our own ways of doing things and our weaknesses. We have our disagreements with people, in the family, in parish life, in outreaches, right? Division is always there. And yet, if we look to today's feast day, we look at these two men in Christ can overcome their differences, their conflicts, then every single conflict, every single tension, every source of division can be overcome. We can truly become brothers and sisters, not on our own strength, but in Christ, the living person, Jesus the Christ. Such, then, is a central teaching of today's gospel, today's feast day. And looking more specifically at the gospel lesson, is that familiar passage from Matthew 16, when our Lord takes the name of Simon. He takes Simon, he changes his name, gives him a new identity. You will now be known as Petra, in Greek, translated into English, rock. You will be the rock. You will be the foundation. You're going to be the solid ground, Peter, upon which I will build my church. And this is not a revelation that Peter was able to come to on his own about the true identity of Christ. Simon Peter came to his revelation by the grace of Almighty God. And the Lord says that it was not flesh and blood that revealed this to you, but my Heavenly Father. What a lesson to us then about the gift of faith. It is not reason, it's not research, it's not a lot of reading and thinking that we come to know the truths of the faith and come to know the reality of who Christ is. To know Christ and who he truly is comes only as a gift from the Father. It is a revelation to you and me. Might we remember that? So even those people who do not believe, maybe there's someone in your family who does not believe, it's not through human argumentation and nagging that's going to convince anybody. There's no philosophical argument that's going to convince them of who Christ is. It is only the Father in heaven who will reveal them, who will reveal to them who his Son really is. So ours is to what? To be people of intense prayer. Intense prayer. And the liturgies, the liturgic prayer above all, is what enlightens our heart. Just as the church prays, enlighten our hearts. Give our hearts light. Open us up so that we can know the truth with faith. That's the key. That's what St. Peter shows us today. The importance of divine revelation. The need of divine revelation. And even though Peter makes his proclamation, he makes his announcement, he recognizes the identity of Christ, and the Lord says, now you are the rock. Should you read the very next verses after this scene, after this account, St. Peter is then called Satan. And we see that even though this is the rock, this is the man the Lord chooses as the rock, the firm foundation, we read the life of Peter throughout the rest of the Gospels, and he's hardly anything but a rock. He's stumbling. He's weak. He messes up. He makes mistakes. He abandons the Lord. He denies the Lord. Hardly a rock, hardly firm in his foundation, the faith. And so what comes to mind? On the one hand, light and life and strength come from on high. Peter is going to be able to do his work not because of his own human abilities and own human potentialities and own human capacities. No, when Peter relies on his own strength, he always and every time falls. It's on purpose. St. Paul tells that in that first reading from Corinthians tonight that we heard of the epistle, right? St. Paul says it, I'm weak. I can't do this. There's only one in who can make me, enable me, give me the strength to do what I need to do. It's the Lord. Both Peter and Paul were brought to their knees. Both of them came to the realization that it's only from the strength on high that they will be able to do the mission, the work that the Lord has given to them. And so the church continues to learn the same example over and over and over, right? The church is not a pretty, the history of the church is not a pretty picture. Plenty, plenty of human failure on display over and over and over. And society is always quick to remind us about our unholy popes, our unholy bishops, our unholy priests, and our unholy lay faithful. Always quick to remind us, yes, that's the humanity of the church. That's the humanity of the church. And yet, even in our sins and our weakness, the Lord will do great things. And that's what he shows us in the life of Paul and Peter. Despite their human failures, despite their sins, despite their weaknesses, the Lord never abandoned them. He never gave up on them. And that's a lesson for every sinner. It's not the sinner is not to be holy is not the person who just stops sinning. That's impossible. That's impossible. It's the person like Peter and Paul who don't give up. They don't get discouraged. You keep getting up. And what's happening is slowly, slowly, the Lord is transforming you by his grace. By his grace. So we look to Peter and Paul as both men who are living testimonies of what the power of God can do despite our or their own failures, their own weaknesses. And so the final lesson of today's feast day, there's many, many more that we can say, but for time we can't. But let's say at least this last lesson to take away for tonight. Never, ever be discouraged. Never, ever give in to that one sin that cannot be forgiven. It's called the sin of despair. Never lose hope in the face of evil. Never lose hope in the face of sin. Even though we fall, even though the church in her humanity falls, even though popes and bishops and priests and lay faithful fall, they show their human weaknesses, the Lord made a promise that gates of hell should not prevail against it. The prophet Jeremiah prefigured today's very promise of Christ to Peter when he said this in chapter 1 of his own prophecies. Quote, "Behold, I make you this day a fortified city. I make you an iron pillar. I make you bronze of walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its princes, its priests, and the people of the land." Because remember, so many of them have fallen away. "They will fight against you, Jeremiah, but they're not going to prevail against you. Why? Because I, the Lord, am with you. I, the Lord, will deliver you." Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. And there is our Lord now telling Peter the same thing. Only now, guess what? Peter, church, faithful, your enemies, unlike Jeremiah, are not human. They're not kings. They're not princes and human priests. Your enemies are going to be supernatural enemies. It's going to be the devils. And yet, do not fear. Do not fear. That's what St. Paul tells us. Our enemies is not any human creatures, not any human empire. And this is the lie that we fall into all the time. No, our enemies are the devils. They're the supernatural spirits. And our strength and our assurance is that Christ told us, the gates of hell shall never prevail against us. And so I greet you again. Christ is among us.